Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
So, it is my pleasure to welcome up a person that has been in my life for probably like 45 years. I have watched... Try to do that math. I have watched her grow in her walk with Christ that has caused my walk with Christ to also grow. She is an amazing woman of faith. If you like are struggling, just talk to her. She is like just amazing at building you up. So I encourage you to open up your spirit to what God is saying through her, because you will grow today more than you were when you stepped in. So it's my pleasure to bring up Jessica Stewart. Let's stand up and give her a round of applause.
Thank you. Wow, thank you. Wow. Just leave that there so I don't cry. How about that? I'm not 45, just for the record, though. Nor is Jackie, but more importantly, I'm not 45. I have a question for you today to start the message that I think is a message that God is challenging all of us in. When is the last time you allowed yourself to be placed in a position where you needed God to show up? Needed. Like, I can't do this on my own. If you don't show up, I fail. When's the last time you allowed yourself to be in that position? So last year, as a church, we spent the beginning parts of the year, the beginning half of the year, actually, from January all the way up to the gathering, in what we called a reboot. And we had several speakers come in, and we felt that, through the season with COVID and kind of everything that was just thrown at us, that there was a season of shutting down, right? We all remember that. We're all very aware of that. And going into last year, it was time to reboot. It was time to start over, to reset, to remove the things that needed to be removed so that we could open and operate the way that God wanted us to operate, right? To work correctly. Do you ever have to shut your phone down because it's just being funky and you've got to shut it down and restart it because there's too many things going on in your phone to work correctly? Okay, so we went through a reboot, and that ended with the gathering last year. That was kind of the pinnacle, the peak of that. And so I said to the Lord after the gathering, me personally, just in my time with the Lord, I said, what do I focus on now? What do you want me to do? So we went through the shutdown and we've rebooted, and what's the purpose of this reboot, and where are we going? What do I do now? And his response to me were three words: expand your capacity. Okay, expand your capacity. Our capacity, just by definition, capacity is the maximum amount that something can contain, right? If you have a container and you fill that container, there is a capacity that container can hold, right? If you try to put more in, it's going to spill out. The container's not going to hold it, right? It's also the maximum amount that something can produce. So, you know, if you look at the, let's say the wiring in your home, okay, it can only produce so much electricity, right? If you go over that, you trip the breaker, and everything that was working shuts down. Anybody experience that? Breaker trips, and now you got nothing. Not a good day. If you're like me, you don't know how to fix it either, so you hope your husband's home to take care of it. The maximum amount that something can contain, or the maximum amount that something can produce. So when God said to me, expand your capacity, what are you saying, God? There's a maximum amount that I can produce, and you're telling me to do more. What is that? So for the sake of our conversation today, let me define expanding your capacity. It's stretching or increasing beyond the maximum amount my soul believes is possible for me to contain, and moving to the place of achieving what God says is possible. The problem is that our soul, that's our mind, our personal will, and our emotions, all three of those things, okay? Our soul has a limiting capacity. We all have a point where we say, this is enough. I'm doing enough. There's enough on my plate. I've got enough going on. I can't do more, or I don't understand that, and I can't go there. We all have a line, a capacity. We all like comfort. Anybody in here like being comfortable? Anybody else? Please tell me I'm not alone. You like being comfortable? Okay, good. Good! Look, there's nothing wrong with comfort unless your comfort is more important than what God wants for you. We all like limits. What? That's weird to even hear. We don't like the limits that other people put on us. We don't like those. But we like to establish our own limits, where we say, this is what I'll do, and I will not go beyond that. This is what I'm willing to give, and I will not give any more than that. Right? We like to set our own limits. The problem is that as followers of Jesus, empowered by Holy Spirit, we're capable of doing far more than our soul will allow us to believe. We are capable of so much more than our soul says is possible. Far beyond. God wants each and every one of us to do far more than what our own soul is comfortable with doing. Did Jesus not say that we would do greater things than him? I'm not comfortable with that. Did you read the things that Jesus has done? I want to take a look at Mark chapter 10. For those of you who follow the constant devotion, this is some of the reading that we did this past week. Jesus taught us that nothing is impossible with God. Right, so let's take a look at Mark 10. We're going to look at verses 17 to 22 to start. It says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him. He, setting out on a journey, was Jesus. A man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do so that I may inherit eternal life? But Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud. honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all of these things from my youth. It's good, right? He's doing good. He's done all of the commands. And Jesus looks at him, showed love to him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I love that this starts Jesus's before his response. We're told that his response was to love. It says Jesus loved him. How did he love him? By pointing out that you need to stretch beyond your comfort. He said, yeah, look, you're keeping all of the rules. You're doing great. That's good. But there's this place where you've limited yourself. There's this place where you can be more and you can do more, and you and I can partner together and you can stretch beyond where you've been. That was Jesus loving him. Stretch beyond your comfort. Stretch beyond what your soul is saying is possible to the place of doing the impossible. Expanding our capacity requires that we intentionally and purposefully stretch beyond our comfort to do what we've not done before. Let me just say this. If my level of comfort is determining what I do or do not do, then comfort is my master, not Jesus. I know that hurts a little. Hurts me too. But if I'm determining what I can achieve based on what I'm comfortable with, then I'm being led by comfort. Jesus, out of his love for this rich man, says, get out of your comfort zone. It's holding you back. It's your master. You're following it. Pick up your cross and follow me. Growth doesn't always look like what we thought it would, right? We want it to be comfortable. We want it to be in our box. And then Jesus comes along and loves us and says, it looks totally different. But nothing's impossible. If you step out of the box and into the place where I am, nothing's out of reach. So we continue in Mark verses 23 through 27. It says, and Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. Amazed. They don't even say anything at this point. And Jesus responds again and says to them, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they're even more astonished. They're like, we were blown away the first time you said it. You're saying it again, and yeah, we can't even keep up. Right? You know that emoji? Like, they're even more astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. What the world would like to tell us is impossible, God says, hey, if we partner, we got this. We got this. You need a camel to pass through the eye of a needle? We'll do it. We'll make it happen. You ever seen a camel? See a needle? I've never seen a needle big enough for a camel to go through. God doesn't care. about the circumstances. He knows who he is, and he knows who you are. He knows who he created you to be. He knows every ability that you have. In fact, he put it on the inside of each and every one of us. And he says, not so with God, for all things are possible with God. Expand your capacity. Get out of your box. Get out of your comfort zone. Allow yourself to see things different, to see the way that God sees, and to step into the place where he's calling you to and move in that place. So how do we expand our capacity? I mean, practically, like, that's great. That's a good word, right? Thank you, Lord. Whatever that was, 8-10 months ago, I started this journey. Thanks, God. That's great. That's a good word. I can stand on that. And I could have just stayed there and said, this is what God's doing. He's expanding my capacity. And we could all cheer because that's a good word, right? What's going to expand if I don't do anything? How many of you have prophetic words from God and you're waiting to see those unfold? Could it be that you have a part in the unfolding? And so look, God will speak to us, but it's our job to then find out, what is my role in making this come to pass? Bringing heaven to earth is our responsibility. That's on us. And so when God speaks, it's my job to say, okay, what do I need to do? And I would offer to you that to expand your capacity, your character has to transform. My character has to change if I want to be able to do all things that God has called me to. Okay, how do you change your character? Well, we go back in small steps. And I'm going to offer these five things to you, and we're going to look at them a little bit more. But let me give you these five things first, and then we'll look at each one. We're talking about transforming your character. Number one, you change the way you think, and your ideas of what growth looks like will change. Number two, when what growth looks like lines up with God's idea of growth, our focus shifts. Three, as our focus shifts, our habits change. Number four, as our habits change, our character changes. And five, when our character changes, our capacity expands. So let's break these down. Let's look at each one of those. Changing the way we think. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What are we taking captive? Every thought. If my thoughts are not the same as Jesus's thoughts, my thoughts have to go. Every thought. If it doesn't line up with what he says, it needs to go. If it doesn't line up with who he is, it needs to go. If it doesn't line up with who he says I am, it needs to go. I don't have a right to think less of myself than what he says. What I have is to take every thought captive and align myself with him. Why is that so important? Well, Proverbs 23:7. We'll look at two verses. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. This is a little bit different version. I think the version I have is NIV. Just a little bit different wording. But as we think in our heart, so we are. If I allow thoughts to remain that are not lined up with Jesus, then who I am lines up with the thoughts that I allow, and I find myself not lined up with him. Conversely, if I take every thought captive and make sure my thoughts line up with him, then my heart lines up with him, and the things that I do line up with the things that Jesus does. Honestly, we could go on all morning about taking thoughts captive. It's a huge topic, and it's something that we have to learn to get right. We have to. If we want any hope of walking as disciples, we've got to get our thought life right. The war in our head, right? Matthew 12, verses 33 through 35. Says either assume the tree to be good as well as its fruit good, or assume the tree to be bad as well as its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. What's in our heart comes out of our mouth. What comes out of our mouth is what we get. Change the way you think. We have to change the way we think. We must eliminate thoughts that do not line up with who Jesus is and who he says we are. Studying leadership, there's a phrase that they call the language of the lid. And it's like if you have that container, right, and you're trying to put things in a container, if you put the lid on the container, you can't get anything into the container, right? Can't pour things into something that's closed. The language of the lid are those limiting things that we think and we speak over ourselves. It's things like, well, I just don't have time. I'm not saying that's not a valid statement at times, but if that's your response to God asking you to do something, you've got a lid. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. Fill in whatever adjective it is for you. It's a lid that says, I can't go any further than this. Nope, you don't have access to that. I cut it off there. This isn't a good time for me. I have enough on my plate. Yeah, but God's asking you to do, yeah, my plate's full. I'm not ready yet. They're limiting words. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Whether I'm strong enough or not, whether I'm smart enough or not, God will fill in the gaps. Which leads me to the next thing. In my weakness, Christ's strength is made perfect. Who he is revealed and perfected when I don't have the strength anyway. So if I step out in my weakness, he meets me there, and he is revealed as the strength that fills in the gap. Here's the bottom line. We don't see God show up when we don't need him to show up. We see God show up when we need him. If we don't create a space where I'm stepping out beyond my comfort zone and I'm crying out, God, I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you, but I remain in a safe place where I can handle it on my own, where am I going to see him? The second thing, when your thinking changes, what you identify as growth will change. Anybody in here like the word failure? I don't either. Truth is, you may be paralyzing yourself from growth because of the perception you have of failure. The way we perceive failure can hold us back because we don't want to fail. We become frozen, paralyzed, and we don't move forward because I don't want to experience that. Whether that be because of past circumstances or whatever it may be, we allow ourselves to be paralyzed. Can we redefine failure as an identifying of something that didn't work that eliminates that possibility and propels us to move forward with a force towards what will work? In other words, if I'm standing and I have five options in front of me, if there are five paths and I take one of those paths and that path didn't work, okay, I eliminate that one and I've got four left. Where's the failure? I eliminated what didn't work. Even if the fourth one I take doesn't work, okay, put an X on it, I've got three more. Am I getting further away or am I getting closer? I'm getting closer. So if it doesn't work the first time, who cares? You're closer. But the enemy would like to tell us, no, you failed. Shut that down. That doesn't feel good. The truth is that in our weakest moments, we have opportunity to grow. If we humble ourselves, our failure will become a force that propels us to move forward and find what does work. I can't think of a greater failure than Peter, who denied Jesus three times at the most critical moment for Jesus. At the moment that he needed somebody. To make matters worse, Jesus told Peter this was going to happen. Like literally said, yeah, listen, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. How much more warning do you need to prepare yourself? Don't do that. And Peter goes out and denies Jesus three times. The crux was after that, when Peter had to make a decision to be defined by that failure or to humble himself and allow it to change him and find the path that did work, which is what he did and why we have, a third of the New Testament? Because he moved beyond. Failure can stop you. It can paralyze you. Or we can grow from it and we can move forward. When my idea of what growth looks like is what God says, my focus shifts. I'm just going to read this statement. If you focus on getting the things you want more than you focus on the things that you don't like, you'll do the things that you don't like to get what you want. some practical examples. I want to get closer to God. Okay? Do you read your Bible every day? No, I don't like to read. Are you more concerned with what you don't like or getting what you want? Are you more concerned with getting closer to God, or are you more concerned with, I don't like reading? When we grow, our focus shifts, and we begin to do the things that we need to do that are necessary to move us forward. How about, I wish I could break this cycle of sin that's just repeating in my life. Man, I'd really like to get out of this. Okay. Have you confessed that to someone? Have you gone to a leader and talked to them about it? Oh, that's uncomfortable. That's embarrassing. I don't like being embarrassed. Do you want to get out of the cycle? Or are you more concerned about the fact that you don't like being embarrassed? You should have a leader in your life who's there to build you up and help you to break through and help you reach the place of victory. And let me interject, if you don't, you need to find someone who fills that place. We all need to have a leader like that, who can see beyond even what we see and helps us get there, helps us break out of the things that are holding us back. Is it more important that I look good than to admit the things that are holding me back and get free from them? There's a big difference between saying, I hope to change, and by the grace of God, I will change. Big difference. There's a huge difference between wanting something and saying, there's nothing that'll stop me from getting this. Big difference. As our focus shifts, our habits change. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. It's kind of an intuitive thing that just propels us. Our habits are a result of our thinking, our overcoming the things that have held us back, like believing failure, the lies that we believe about failure. What we begin to do consistently transforms us. Consistency is key. So as we begin to do the things that we need to do, they become a habit. Eventually, we don't even think about them anymore. It's just a part of us. I don't think about reading the Word of God. Actually, I do, because I hunger for it. But I don't think about not reading. That's a part of what I do. I don't sit and ponder, should I tithe today? It's just a part of what I do. It's a habit. It's part of who I am. It's become my character. Because I allowed my thinking to change. I allowed my perspective to change. It becomes my character. When our character changes, our capacity increases. If our character is not strengthening, our future potential is weakening. If I'm not building toward who God says I am and the things that He says I can do, then I'm not going to get to all of the things that He says I am and that He says I can do, right? We can wait and our potential will decrease, or we can start changing our character now and reach everything that He says is before us right now. Let me say this to you. It doesn't matter if our capacity expands, if there's a hole in the bottom of our bucket. Right? I can get a bigger bucket and I can pour water in and it'll hold no more than the small bucket if there's a massive hole in the bottom. It's not going to hold anything. Where are the gaps in your integrity? What are you doing when nobody's looking? How do you act when nobody knows? What are you doing all week long when you're at home? Do you behave the same way that you behave when you come in here, or is it different? Where are the gaps? We got to fix the hole in the bottom of the bucket so that our character stands true. And as our capacity increases, we're actually holding more and able to accomplish more. If we were to give Jesus a microscope and ask him to look in our life, there are areas he would find in every one of us that need to change, that need to adjust. There are places where we need to get out of our comfort zone, every one of us. Have you given him that microscope lately? Have you asked him to pull it out and use it? Do you give him the place to look? I know we don't like that. We covered that 3 steps ago. We don't like to identify the things that are in us that we don't like. But if we don't identify those things, we can't move beyond them and begin to do what we need to do so they're no longer a part of us. And we can achieve what it is that God's calling us to achieve. Integrity invites him. Invites, asks him. Asks Jesus. Get inside my heart. Show me what's in my heart. And integrity commits to changing whatever he shows me. Integrity will commit to changing before he even tells me what I need to change. If he's saying there's something that needs to change, does it matter what it is? Is there a valid reason to say, oh, well, I'm not going to do that? Or if he's asking me to change something, is it, yes, Lord? I think we're in a season that God is calling us forward. That he's calling us up. That he's calling all of us to grow. That has to be very intentional. Not only do I believe that he's calling each one of us individually to grow, but corporately he's calling this house to grow. That we change, that we transform. The vision for this house is that Jesus has called us to 10,000 disciples. I don't know that you even need to look around to know there aren't 10,000 disciples in this room. Anybody need to look to know that? We're not going to get there if we don't grow. What a sad day it would be to know, to stand before God and know that was our potential and say, yeah, but I didn't want to change. I didn't want to try. That was uncomfortable. I'd rather give it everything I've got. And if I fail, then I've eliminated one of the paths for the next generation to get it right. I think the enemy's whispering. Sounds something like this. If God wants me to increase, then he'll increase me. It sounds like I'm not responsible, God is. That's on him. I'm going to stay comfortable. And if God wants to change that, then he's going to have to break what I'm doing, and he's going to have to supernaturally, miraculously get a hold of me because I'm not making place for that. The truth is, actually, God's waiting on us. He won't step in and just force himself. Let's look at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We read that at first, it sounds contradictory, right? Wait, I'm to work out my salvation, but God's going to take care of it. What? Actually, they work together. They're not contrary at all. It's me doing the work to discover everything that God has already placed within me and given me to complete everything that he has called me to. God has already done the work. He's given me everything that I need. It's my job now to continue to work out my salvation. It's my job to discover the things that he's placed in me. It's my job to discover the things that he has not placed in me and get rid of those and move towards the things that he has placed in me. I'm responsible for my growth. I'm responsible for my expansion. I'm fully dependent on God. Both have to work together. I'm responsible for my growth and fully dependent on God to show up and meet me. I can't grow without him, but he won't make me grow without me. We have a responsibility to go beyond what our soul is saying is comfortable, what our soul is allowing us to believe for ourselves, and reach to the place that God is saying, this is what I have for you. It's bigger than you've imagined. It's bigger than you've dreamed. It's greater than you've allowed yourself to believe up to this point. But it's available. When is the last time you allowed yourself to be placed in a position where you needed God to show up? It's time to get busy. It's time to allow Jesus to pull out the microscope, to take a deep look at the inside of us, and it's time to align our heart with what he's revealing, because there are great things that he has for each and every one of us to do individually and corporately as a house. Are you willing to do those things? Are you willing to put yourself in a position where you need him. Like, you can't do this without him. There are people in here, some of you are called to heal the sick. It's not something you can do on your own. But when's the last time you laid hands on the sick? There are people in this room who are called to raise the dead. Not something that we have the power in and of ourselves to do. But have you laid hands on them and called them forth? Have you been on your face asking God to change you so that you're ready for that? There are people in this room who have business ideas that will transform this city. Are you going after them? You might not have any business knowledge whatsoever. Maybe it's not something that your family did or you've seen or you have any clue how to pursue. Is that stopping you? Or are you believing what God says and going after it anyway? We're called to bring heaven to earth. And it's time to open ourselves up, to remove the limited thinking and allow God to move through us. Can I have the ministry team come up? Some of you may know of an area where you've been stuck and you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe it's time to do the thing that you haven't wanted to do so you can get beyond it and get to what you want. Maybe you don't know what's holding you back. And your question is, I know there's more. I need to discover what's holding me back so I can get to the more. We're going to be up here. We'd love to pray with you. Whether you know what it is or you don't know, but you know there's more. Come up. Because we're in a season to move forward. We're in a season to grow. And that word will only be yours if you take responsibility for it and you make it yours. The word itself, it's you have to plant a seed for it to grow. It's got to be planted in you. We got to do our part and meet with God, and growth will bloom in your life. So, Lord, I thank you that you're calling us to new places. You're calling us to greater things. Lord, I'm grateful that you don't limit us based on our own limitations, but that you're willing to help us walk through those and remove those so that we can achieve the greatness that you have for each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would reveal if there's anyone on the fence or unclear as to what's holding them back, would you just gently nudge us now? Show us where we need to move forward, where we need to expand our capacity. Show us how we can go beyond where we've been to what you're calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen. City Church, thank you. We'll be up here praying. Please come forward. If you don't need to come forward, have a great week. May the Lord bless you this week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.